Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
For those of us that pick and choose on both sides of the border, it's back-to-back long weekends, May 2, 4, over to Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day, and thank you to everybody that has served over the years.
And as a Canadian, thank you to our American friends for everything that you have done. I know that these are strange times between our two countries, but at the same time, deep down, we all know that we have the same goals, the same objectives. And we are great neighbors. So happy Memorial Day.
Wow, that was
pretty
beautiful.
Good, huh? I think
that was.
The only thing missing? Music. Should have had a bit of music underneath.
Well, maybe you can put some in the post.
No. We can't afford the music.
But then you're always on them, for those that don't know, and why would you? You're on, Hugh, like, get it out fast.
Want
the promos
fast.
And everything. Yeah. So Hugh doesn't have time to do all the fancy post production.
We are quantity before quality, but our quantity has good quality.
What do you make of Carolina now 0-4 in the third round again?
But they have not changed their playbook. They have not changed their game plans. They have not adjusted to playoff hockey in 8 years. So
but,
why
but
would it
the
change
the first
now?
Two
why
rounds,
would it
they're so
now?
Effective. Why That's would the change? Strange part.
No, but Over. But so the regular season is one animal.
Yeah.
The playoffs are another bigger, meaner, dirtier animal. That's it. And Carolina cannot elevate to that level.
But, John, they won two rounds. They've been able to win two rounds in the past.
Okay.
Why is this such a stumbling block?
Really? Hey, tell you what. You know what it speaks to? The weakness of the Metropolitan Division.
Had a conversation with a couple of NHL coaches last week about that.
The Metro Division right now is the ugly stepchild in the National Hockey League. When you think about the greatness of teams 10 years ago, Pittsburgh, Metro Division. You know, that's what the difference is now. It used to be the Atlantic Division. The Atlantic Division now might have, I had a discussion with somebody from a team on Saturday. The four best teams in the Eastern Conference, the four best teams in the Eastern Conference might be in the Atlantic Division. Florida, Tampa, Toronto, Ottawa. Might be those are the four best teams. Better than Washington, with all due respect to what the Caps did.
Because the point totals are mixed. You get 4-4 in the playoffs.
Yeah, right. But, you know, you play a lot more games in your own division. And, you know, there's just a certain level. And, again, it goes back to being able to elevate your game in the postseason. You know, 82 games, you don't play at the same intensity that you play in the playoffs. And right now, Carolina cannot get to that level and play it that way. They just can't. They just can't.
Our buddy Jody Shelley just logged in, so he's ready to go. We'll come back with the analyst for the Columbus Blue Jackets and a couple of other entities that we'll run down. He's very busy.
He's got lots of money. He made a lot of money this year.
A lot of cash. So
maybe he can loan us some.
Short term? We got to pay him back, though, because I'm not staring that guy down. Hey, I'll get you next Thursday.
I'm not afraid of him.
Oh, I am. Jody Shelley's coming up on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We continue following the third round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Bring in analyst for TNT, Columbus. We got Amazon as well. How long is your business card? Do you have business cards?
Are you going to say his name?
Jody Shelley.
Jody Shelley.
It's also in the podcast like headline.
Yeah, I know, but people don't pay attention to that.
Well, they should. How long is your business card?
Not very long. I don't have one at all. I just
really?
Have a checklist. Yeah. No.
Or,
no business
no, you
card.
Have, you get checks. That's what you get. Invoice.
That's not bad.
That's not bad, too.
How would you, before we get to talk about the playoffs, how would you define your year? Because you've probably never been busier.
Busy, yeah. It was, you know, it was a lot of fun. Monday nights on Amazon, doing the Canadian games in the Canadian markets was exciting. Patching in travel, some game day travel where I'd leave Monday to get to Amazon game in Canada. And then TNT, I did five or six regular season. And then the Blue Jackets. So I did 76 Blue Jackets games, 20 Amazon, and then I think I ended up with playoffs, probably 15 or 16 TNT. So lots of hockey. It was so much fun. You guys know.
Do you have to do you talk differently to a Canadian audience than your U.S. audience?
I think there's a little bit of that. I think the passion in the markets when you're in there, it's you know, there's an understanding of that team at a different level. Not so much. I think in some of the U.S. markets, you do a little more detailed talking and kind of teaching or remembering that there's terms. And John, you've been great with reminding me of this. You know, not everyone's a hockey fan. Not everyone knows what the neutral zone is. Not everyone knows what F3 is. But I think there are times in Canada where.
Do not use F3. Do not use F3.
I've been an F3. It's no, you don't want to be an F3.
the moment I hear F3, the volume gets muted. So,
which is the third forechecker, by the way.
Yeah.
What about F1, John? Have you come
I muted I muted F1 as well.
Okay.
So that's fun.
So I actually had a talk with somebody with an organization on Saturday night about this. Who is the best football commentator in the history of the National Football League?
Tom Madden.
John Madden. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. You ever hear him talk about the A gap, the B gap, the C? You never heard technical terms because not everybody played the game and understands the game that way. And that's not the job we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be telling stories.
Except, can I just.
No, there's no
the
except.
Devil's advocate?
I'm sorry. There's no except.
But if Jody talks about the F3, and then explains it and says that's the language the coaches use. I would feel as a viewer like I'm being brought deeper inside the game. So I think that's a cool aspect as long as you're covering your bases.
No, I disagree because I think it goes by so quickly. It goes over people's heads. So this is the magic of. So we have 40 million Canadians. 40 million Canadians. The hotbed of hockey. How many people played the game? How many people play the game today?
But you can still teach people about the technical part.
You can teach people about the game. Just don't use all the inner sport stuff. Do it in real English words.
See, I don't mind it. When I'm watching football, basketball, baseball.
Yeah, but you're an athlete.
And they throw it in there and they say F3 is above the puck and this is what causes this turnover. Now I'm like, oh, that's what F3 is. But if I'm just hanging it out there, I agree. It's nonsense.
If you tell me that, you know, there's Jody Shelley, he's the third player into the zone and he's above the puck. I actually understand that quicker and better without F3. Using the terminology, without using the F3 terminology.
I got one. I got one for you.
Nicknames and terminology drive me nuts.
Yeah, Jordan, I knew Jordan, that would put a burr in his saddle right away, Millard. You see that? F3.
It was beautiful. But I've got one for John.
By the way, I said it first.
This is from Jody and I, and this one I think you will understand, though. It's the FU. So.
Ooh.
I've been living with that for 50 years in this business, so trust me.
What is above the puck, Jody?
Above the puck is keeping yourself between the goaltender, your own goaltender, and the opposition, the offensive team that has the puck, and any part of the ice. Watch the Florida Panthers. They're always above the puck. They're not letting you get to their net. It doesn't matter where they are. It's a responsibility just to be on that layer, to not put yourself on the backside of the puck and give that advantage. That's how slight these margins are. Mm-hmm. The details of that in this playoffs has been so high.
And F1, why not just call it the left winger? What's the difference?
Right.
It's the first forechecker. I mean, and that's what you base your forecheck off. You read off of F1. So being in a locker room for so long, if I'm F1, I know my responsibility is to get in, put pressure, turn the player either way. And that allows F2 and F3 to read off it.
So rather than saying F1, just say the first forechecker.
Yeah.
The first guy in the zone. Yeah. And that's my whole point. Put it in a language that the layman, not the guy who plays the game, the layman. One of my other pet peeves, and you don't do this very often, Jody, but when people start talking about goaltending, and on every network, in every scenario, everybody talks about, well, you young goalies out there. So here's the deal. The moment you say you young goalies out there, we've decided we're not going to talk to 1,000,004. We're going to talk to 60. We're going to talk to 60 people. And that's not the way you do it. You talk to the majority of people. That's what you do.
Anyway. So you want us to include
the great Don Cherry.
Yes.
No.
And by the way, you're right. And now all we see now is pale imitations of the great Don.
So you want us talking to the men's league goaltenders or the rec league goaltenders too?
I want you to talk to everyone.
Yeah, because you know what? I'm fascinated when they talk about the goaltending. I mean, it's a position. It's so in depth. I think we're learning so much more about it right now. I agree. I learn when I watch baseball. I learn about the pitching, the quarterbacks in football. That the goalie is the most unique position. And hearing them talk about it, maybe I'm a young goaltender. I don't know.
When was the last time you heard John Smoltz say, "Well, you young pitchers out there"?
Yeah. No, he's very good at just saying the situation that is at hand and bringing you there.
Correct.
I'm with Jody when he tells me.
We're talking about economy of words, efficiency of words. That's what we're talking about. What we find now is in our business, and I'm much more about it with hockey than I am other sports, is we have created this checklist of crutch words.
Yeah.
A checklist, you know.
Well, every sport has that.
I just told you, I'm just talking about hockey right now. The name of this thing's 100% hockey, not 100% football.
But you're making it sound like we're the only violators of that.
We are today. For the next 40 minutes.
Don Cherry, that influence, we all were raised on watching him, and that became part of our vernacular. It's a compliment in a way, John.
To whom? To Don?
Yeah.
But there's only one Don. There's only one Don. There should only be one Don.
What's wrong with begging, borrowing, and stealing different terms and philosophies?
Because I think that people use them without knowing why he used them, and people have to understand why they.
Did he know why he used them?
No, I didn't.
He only had 3 or 4 minutes, didn't he? He got right to the point.
Yeah, he had 7.5.
Is that what it was?
And then he would
wasn't long enough.
Then he would at the end of 7.5, he said, "What? We're out of time." You know, so anyway, but that my point.
How many people play hockey in the GTA? I think Jody threw out 2 million people.
No, in registered hockey players in our country, there's less than 1 million.
Are you just counting minor hockey players, kids?
Registered, yeah, yeah.
That seems low.
Nope, that's one of the the only way it's growing, Darren. The only way it's growing in our country, women.
Yeah. Well, that's fair, but rec league goaltenders, high school hockey, women's hockey, it's only a million?
Yep.
Huh.
It's growing that rate down here in Columbus, Ohio. The women's hockey is booming.
Yeah.
Hockey in general, but women has the biggest growth.
And what do you attribute to the growth to?
Well, I mean, everything here is because of the Blue Jackets when they came in. We had Ohio State hockey. There's college hockey. But when the Blue Jackets came in and they put in the Learn to Play program in every market, they probably have it there in Vegas where, you know, it's $100. You get a full set of equipment. You get 6 on-ice sessions. That brings in more fans. But it's the local stars, the market they identify with. This is their team. And the women's hockey, I mean, it's, you know, for me, for example, my daughter grew up in a hockey household with her brother, and she wanted to play hockey. So she's on the women's U19 hockey team. She's only 16 or 14, but she's in that league now where there was, I think, 48 girls trying out for this team, which is remarkable for that one birth year.
That is great. Is she an F1 or an F3?
Oh, my God. Don't even go there.
She's always the first forward in.
That away. See, that's all I'm asking.
Simplify, oh, you got it.
Simplify the darn thing.
I would love to be with you to watch what we had the first round, 4 games in one night. You must be going bananas.
I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's too slow right now. Everything's slowing down. It's only going to get...
As I told the commissioner 3 weeks ago, my latest thing now is I have, certainly I have 4 pictures up all the time. Now I have 2 sounds. I have two games with sound up.
No, I don't know how you can do that.
You got an audio person there or what?
I am the audio person too. Well, you have to be able to do it. Then you can find things and listen to things and get stories. And I also have my notepad to keep track of little stories that come up, you know, and something tells me something interesting, I may use it somewhere along the way.
Are you hearing a lot of stories in these broadcasts?
No, I'm not. Wait, who's interviewing whom here?
Well, I like this. You know, when I talk to you, I always like picking your brain because
not enough, Jody, not enough. Yeah. We have, and there's a lot of reasons for that. We have, there's not the same amount of access to players to get the stories. That's a problem. And then there's the whole dynamic of the growth of analytics. So if you have 2 minutes to tell a story, people would think it's easier and better to tell it with numbers. Numbers aren't stories. So you lose the human aspect of it. So there's and then the speed of the game is difficult. And then the amount of replays and the amount of technology that people think they have to see something 6 times as opposed to 3 times well and then time to tell the story. Mm-hmm. I think there's lots of reasons why. There could be more stories. There could be more stories.
But is this a time of the year that you need stories?
Particularly,
or is the
game
too important?
Absolutely. You need stories from game 2 to game 3. You need to be able to develop, okay, what happened in this scenario in the Carolina-Florida game 2, and we saw something similar in game 3. Where's the story? How did that change? And you have to be able to analyze and tell the story of why it changed, and then you can redevelop it in game 4.
It's the best time for that because you're in a camp with the teams, right? And there's downtime, down days. The players are used to seeing you at a frequency where they're not used to. They get more comfortable.
I think that one of the keys is when you start a series, Darren, is you start with a checklist of 25 things, and then you end up with a second checklist of actually what happened in the game, and use. And then the two checklists kind of morph into one. And so that becomes like when you were doing that, you did some of the Florida Toronto series, right?
Yeah. I did game 6.
Yeah. So by the time you get to game 6, oh my goodness gracious, you have 5 games of content to deal with to tell stories and use visual representation on replays. And then the ability of that morning being able to sit with a guy and saying, you know, hey, listen, how do you manage their forecheck?
Yeah. space off. There's so many things you could dig into.
Yeah.
I want to get to the action that that we're seeing right now, but just circle back and then we'll take a break. Jody, you are primarily local with Columbus Blue Jackets, but now doing some national. And there's two ways people look at national broadcasters coming in. It's cool. It's great. We're on the big stage. But the home fans get a little bit like, we like our own guys because they know our team so much better. Being regional with Columbus for so long, does that help you be a little bit more conscious of that on a national scale when you do an Amazon game?
You know what? It's a it's interesting. I just think the reps of being involved with the team and understanding a team like I am in Columbus, and knowing that I'm going to have, so we have an away team came, say the Leafs come into here. I spend extra time on that team for that night. So when I do a broadcast here in Columbus, you know, some people say it should be 60-40, 60 Columbus, 40% the opposition. But, you know, as it goes through the game, I kind of feel myself with Steve Mears. We try to keep it kind of even. You know what I mean? I think I take that mindset to the Amazon and TNT games. And when you get to do those games, you have to be on. And I think that's what I've enjoyed about it, is the work to make sure you understand the teams, you understand both sides of the story going into the night. But I honestly just think the reps and the experience helps you to understand what you're getting into on that level, you know, and plus you have such a great support staff. Amazon's tremendous with their support staff, the people that are doing the hard work for broadcasts. And when you rely upon them and you feel like you're a part of it, you kind of feel like you're going down there throughout this story of the night all together. So it's, I thought I was ready for national a few years ago, but you know, it's like anybody. Once you get into it, and now I feel like I'm really ready. Where I wasn't 3 or 4 years ago, I didn't think on this level. It's just experience and reps.
John, do you agree with that kind of philosophy, that thinking?
No, I think I was the guy that invented the 60-40.
I think you might have told me that.
Yeah, I'm a 60. You know, your job on a regional game is to cater to the home audience, because 95% of them are Blue Jackets fans. So to even tip the scale 60-40 sometimes can piss a Blue Jacket fan off. But then you have to be able to react to exactly what's going on the ice and be able to relate what's going on the ice to that hardcore Blue Jackets fan. And that might be that the Maple Leafs are playing better and what they're forcing the Blue Jackets to do. The other thing is, and you know, this is where it's easier in Canada, but it's starting to be nice in the United States, is when you have young NHLers come up in your market and play in the NHL. You know, when Jack Roslovich plays a game in Columbus, I don't care who he plays for. That's a really good Columbus story. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I don't care how many times, he should be the first intermission interview in the Columbus Blue Jacket show. You know, Sean Corrali, same story. Now, he plays for the Blue Jackets, but when he was in Boston, that's what should happen. And what you're seeing now more and more, as you talked about, Jody, the development of players in your market, even guys that went to Ohio State are more important on the visiting team than anybody else, because people at home in Columbus can relate to them.
Feels like a no-brainer.
It's not hanging fruit, right? Yeah, exactly. No-brainer.
Was that Darren? Sorry, missed that?
It feels like a no-brainer.
But it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Yeah, one of the and people are going to think that I'm a dinosaur for this. One of the great successes. Don't you laugh at me, Malarkey.
No, Shelley laughed first.
One of the great successes of those four famous words in our country, hockey night in Canada, was that if Jody Shelley, whatever team he was playing for, the New York Rangers, the Philadelphia Flyers, if he went to Edmonton, Jody Shelley should have been the interview that night.
because maybe his mom and dad were at the game, but his mom and dad's friends saw him, and they talk about him at the coffee shop, and their friends talk about him at the coffee shop, and that is grassroots discussion about what makes the game great. And people then say, well, that's what makes hockey in our country so good. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And we have, you know, there's a lot of people in the broadcast industry that probably have never been introduced to that system and style, don't know that system and style, but that has to happen. It has to happen in order to try to get a better story, create some warmth. And that's a real challenge in this day and age.
I remember feeling warm on a Saturday night when I was 13, 12 years old in front of the TV. There's been nothing like it, and there never will be,
right?
Because it was intimate.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more with Jody Shelley, along with Millard and the Dinosaur on 100% Hockey.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm telling you, I when you brought up Dinosaur, Jody laughed first. So take a run at him. I dare you, F1.
He brought it up. That's two things he's brought up
by
now.
The way, I think he's getting obsessed. Apparently,
he's all mad at people, but he's doing his own dirty work.
Apparently, I'm bringing everything up today. I don't know what you two guys are bringing. So
we're listening. Hey, we're good listeners.
Sponges.
Here's the problem. But Darren, here's the problem. Every time Jody and I get together, and I get these texts every once in a while, and then he says, "You got a couple minutes to talk," and I know that I'm going to get on the fucking soapbox.
Yeah, I call 30, it constructive criticism.
And 30 minutes later, my wife's going to say to me, "Were you really mad at him like that?" I said, "No, I'm just passionate about it. I want him to be great. I don't want him to be ordinary. I want him to be great. I want every announcer to be great."
Well, no one points it out like you, John. I mean, that's why the calls are so important to me. It's like, it's just flat in my face. It's like, yeah, good point. And I'm making notes and trying to figure out, you know, how I can make it better. But you're always evolving, even though, you know everything as through experience, you're always evolving and you always have that great constructive criticism. I appreciate it.
My favorite one, Darren, with Jody is I can sit at home watching the game and I see something in the game and I think it should be talked about on the air. And then I'll send him a text saying, did you notice that forward, did you see him get clipped in the corner? And I'll get the text back. Yeah, I did. Why did you mention it then? I mean, if you saw it, why aren't you talking about it?
Because there's eight other things going on at once. Yeah. I'm trying to tell my producer, hey, did you see that? Did you get a better angle? Blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, oh, shoot, it's gone.
And you got to sell some stuff along the way, too.
Yeah, there's a few ads in there.
Yeah.
No excuses, though.
No excuses.
I'm with you, Jody. You may not agree with everything he says, just off the side. I don't know whether you agree with everything he says, but it's good to think, right? It makes you think a little bit. And I think that's because in our business, we get very little coaching along the way.
Right.
From inside, because we're all just trying to keep up.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's why I think having the relationships, making the phone calls, seeing it from a different I mean, I think anybody in any walk of life, if you think you have it figured out, you're probably going to slip out of the picture a little bit. But if you can talk to people who see it differently and accept their criticism, how they see it and what they might think, it opens up a different way of thinking, a different way of approaching it. And I love that. That's one of the greatest things about this job is that every game is different. You don't know what's going to happen, but your preparation could take you a place, but you never know. And then you have people like John with the great texts. I appreciate those moments, and I love his teaching.
By the way, if you think the moment you think you've figured it out, you haven't.
You're
figured
done.
It out. You're done.
If you think the smartest guy in the room,
you're probably the only one.
Yeah, that's
in
right.
in the room. That's how that works. So we got Florida dismantling Carolina.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. I truly thought that this was going to be a long, deep, competitive series. Why hasn't it worked for Carolina, or what's Florida done that's been so dramatic, Jody?
You know, I think if you watch Carolina throughout this playoffs, they've not allowed teams to get to their game. Example, Washington. They're very good at just sticking with it. And they've been in the series they've been in, the games have been tighter than they've looked. But Rod Brendamore has got his team to play their game. And Florida, the matchup is the same as far as the way they play. They're man on man. They're 1-1-3 in the neutral zone. There's a lot of similarities in their game. The way they defend, the way their assignments, they play the whole year, taking care of the little nuances that are like more important than scoring goals and getting assists. It's like playing that team game. But Florida has enough. I feel like they've got enough room for creativity to take advantage of some of those things. Mikkola up in the play. You know, you don't see like for me, the defenseman for the Carolina Hurricanes, they have to bring something. And I think goaltending. I think Freddie Anderson, you know, he stole some games in that second round. And I just think that extra save, I know it was tight last game. And Florida's just good. I mean, Florida has been waiting for this time of year since last year when they hoisted the cup. And they're just good in the sense of they're on the same page and they celebrate getting a puck out, making a stick check, being in the right position, having a second effort. Those things that I don't know if the teams that just lost out in that last round or the teams that will this round have that total buy-in to those moments in the game.
So do you actually think Carolina is playing Carolina Hurricane hockey?
No, they can't get to it. I think that they want to get to the Carolina Hurricane hockey, but I think the patience that they have to get on the score sheet is costing them. That's how good Florida is. I think that they, and when I say patience, it means Rod Brendamore has them buying into staying with their game for the entire game. But I think there's moments in this series where Aho is getting pushed around and challenged by Tkachuk. He's not used to that. I mean, that's a different game. And he seems to be biting into that. I feel like if they could just focus on their game, get the early goal, that's a key for them, get the first goal, because then they can settle into that defensive game for four lines and 6D and kind of protect it. But they're not getting to it because they're not getting that critical, that scoring to get them over the hump. And they're just not, they're getting away, they're getting distracted. And I feel like they have to try to really focus on their short mindset, which is, just stick with it. They're like a well-oiled machine. Just stick with it. Just keep pushing. Just keep going. It'll crack. It'll crack. They're not able to do it.
I appreciated Rod Brendamore singling out veteran players after game three, highlighting how effective his young players have been, but saying we can't have that. As a veteran player, how do you think that is taken inside that room?
That could go either way. I mean, this is a team that's asked a lot of the entire season. Everyone knows they play a very hard, up-tempo, demanding system. I think that group is fed up with being kind of this second round, you know, can't make it to the next level of a team. But I look at their leadership and I think they can't match up against this Florida Panthers. Their tenacity, they're ferocious on pucks. Then you have to face Bobrovsky. They've got Big D. They're frustrating to play against. I feel like they feel like they're running into a wall. So, you know, I understand what he's saying, but I'm not sure they have the capability. He obviously thinks they do have the capability, the ability to get to that level. He expects more from them. But I think in those battles, Florida's game plan to wear them down is working. So that's why I worry about that comment. It's like, okay, we know you want us to do more. We want to do more. How do we do it? How do we get through this? So I think Anderson's one of the goaltending obviously was one of them. Aho is a good player. He's got a good stick, but the stick's not working in this series. It's not a stick series. It's a body and a mind series. And I think that's where they're going to have a tough time getting to that level.
When you're between the benches, do you feel the Panthers' aura?
Yeah. You really do. And it starts with their head coach. I got fascinated a couple of years ago with Bruce Cassidy in Vegas when I was between the benches. It was Oilers Vegas. And, you know, Oilers, Draisaitl, McDavid, it just kept, you know, it was like they had the two best cards in the deck and they were just going to be, they were going to beat the Vegas Golden Knights. And Cassidy stayed with it. He just kept, he was on his guys. They were up by 5 goals in one game. And it stood out to me that he was still on top of them because it wasn't about that game. It was about the series. When I watch Paul Maurice, when I hear the messaging out of their locker room after a win, talking about a certain situation, the media is trying to get things up. They are on cue with everything they're doing, off the ice, on the ice, within that bench. They have an expectation with the guys on either side of their shoulders and the coaches and the goaltending. And you feel it's more than a confidence. It's a belief in what's expected. And it's calm. And sometimes there's some spikes, but it's really different than you think. Even with Tkachuk and Marchand, the intensity's there, but it's focused in the right areas. It's really impressive down there.
I'm not sure Florida does all this without the acquisition of Brad Marchand. And I wasn't sure.
Are you going to throw Seth Jones in there too? I mean, holy smokes.
True.
Jones, he's been good too. Spectacular.
But the Brad acquisition, like he wasn't going to play a lot in the back half. So part of me was like, why, Bill, why are you doing this? And now I understand Bill Zito, why he did that.
It's fascinating, right? I mean, you look at Eichel to Vegas. That to me still is fascinating, how you get a guy like Eichel. But Brad Marchand is – when it's interesting when I talked to him a couple weeks ago. He'd never been traded. Everything was new. He was still making mistakes in the neutral zone. He was laughing at himself. And the one thing I asked him – because one thing – there's a couple things to worry about when you pick up a player, but how quick is he going to fit in? Right. How quick is he going to be himself? To me, Stamkos took 70 games this year to realize, you know, he wasn't the captain of the Nashville Predators. Roman Josi was. Where does he fit in? But Brad Marchand said, that was the easiest part. He said, I started ribbing guys within a week. They understood me right away. I don't stop talking anymore. The hardest part for him was he was away from the team while he was injured, practicing on his own. And he's a guy that feeds off his energy is feeding off teammates and being the guy that upsets the apple cart. That was a key for him. The rest of it, he developed. He's smart enough to play it. He's bought in. But that's the type of player, like when you get a guy like that who comes in and plays on your third line and plays a different role and accepts it and brings it. But Darren, to your point, he is a catalyst to a lot there because there's a fresh air to how he approaches the game.
Let's also remember, trade deadline was after Four Nations. The one thing we learned at Four Nations was Matthew Tkachuk is hurt. And Bill Zito was smart enough to know that, hey, we may not have Matthew Tkachuk at 100%. So we need somebody else to fill that void at a certain point. And a guy like Brad Marchand, yes, was available because, I mean, he only wanted to go two places, right? Marchand said he would only play in two places, Toronto or Florida. And they got a deal done in Florida. So all of a sudden, Brad Marchand's not only filling the void that you talked about, Jody, but he's also filling the void of Matthew Tkachuk for the last 20 games of the regular season.
Yeah, and that's important.
Yes.
That's an important, I mean, and Bill Zito goes to Florida. He knows he's got Barkov, Bobrovsky, and Ekblad. And the pieces he brought in include the biggest one, of course, Tkachuk. It's just, and the coach Paul Maurice. I give him a lot of credit for bringing in Maurice. Now you know where characters can fit. And I think that's where, like, remember the old Detroit Red Wings? It was like they could bring in any personality and you would be chewed up and spit out within a week. No, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And that's where Florida is at now.
What about we touched on Seth Jones quickly. You know Seth very well from his time in Columbus. We have a mutual friend I got talking about Seth. He says this is how well he played in Columbus all the time.
Yeah, and it's impressive because, you know, it's funny. We talked to Maurice and someone asked him, how long will it take for Seth Jones to settle in? This was in the last round. And Paul Maurice said a year because it took Ekblad a year. And I was kind of like, what does he mean by that? You know? And he said, it's just the understanding of how we do it to be ingrained in him, but he's a smart player. And I think with, when he went to Chicago, he had a little too much free reign. I think that's, players are better with boundaries and specific assignments. The more specific you can be, the better. And he had that here with John Tortorella. Torts benched him, I think it was 5 games in, sat him for the third period. It was a message that had never been done. And then he figured out his role with Zach Werenski here. I think it's the same thing there. He hasn't had to be sat, but there was just like he, the level of the locker room, the level of the games. He's smart. He figured out the simpler, the better. Get the puck out of this area, get to the next zone. And yeah, so it's the simplicity that he's picked up from the Florida Panthers that's helped him.
What do you like about what Edmonton's done the last 2 games?
Well, I just think that there is no team that is built, been building throughout the playoffs like the Edmonton Oilers. And I think that now it's kind of hitting that crescendo where they caught a great break on that penalty that wasn't called, you know, and it kind of like, if you're on the bench for the Dallas Stars now, and all of a sudden it's bang, bang, you're down 2-0, but you're thinking, wait, you're still kind of in bubbling because
trying to get over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, they're defending
that,
well.
And that would be, that would be that much of a factor on the bench.
Yes, I think so. When I saw the interview right away with the coaching staff, I forget, did they interview the head coach?
Was it Pete?
Yeah. They interviewed Pete and it was like, he was still stewing. I kind of feel like, yes, that would still be a factor. Cause especially when it's bang, bang. Now it's,
yeah,
this is a sequence that's, you know, what are we going to do? I like the way they defend, but I love the way they've built the LA series. They weren't in it. They weren't any, even close to being what they needed. They look lost to start. They got through that. Then they build in the next series. And it's like, they're getting healthy. Their lines look right. Perry's on the fourth line. They've got Hyman's going now. I think that the way they defend, the way they're bought into protecting a lead, the way that, you know, it's not Connor McDavid going through everybody, but it is a 3-on-1 where he gets to finish and feel good about himself. I think that that's a big deal. I think that the pressure that these guys like Matthews and Marner have, it's because they need someone else to step up and balance it throughout the playoffs. And they didn't really get things going. They didn't have the time. Edmonton had to get things going. But I love the way they're defending. I love the way they're bought in. Skinner seems to be back, which is huge for them. So the way that they're kind of hitting their crescendo, it's amazing to watch the evolution of their playoffs.
But Dallas isn't done yet, are they?
No, Dallas is good. And Ottinger, to me, he's still such a good goalie. I mean, there's a couple of those goals where you can look at every goal and think, boy, how did that go in? But they're not done yet. They've got a lot of fight. They've got, I mean, Heiskanen's back, but is he really back?
I think that's the key thing right there.
That's the key. He's getting a lot of time and a lot of minutes, and it's you've seen it before. There's a certain way there's a pack mentality when you don't have a superstar. You can hold it for a while. But the guy comes back, you get away from that type of game, and now things are different. There's a hole there.
Thomas Harley has struggled.
Yeah.
Particularly in the last 2 games. Yeah. When you talk about Heiskanen being back, you wonder how it's affected his game more than anything else.
The alpha. Like,
right.
It's
right.
Probably trying to do too much now, right? Or there's probably like looking to that player, wondering what he's doing.
Or is he overused? Has he been overused?
Yeah, it could be that too. I mean, that's. And then overexposed. I mean, there's a lot of speed. There's a lot of different situations from the Oilers that he's facing.
Yeah.
How do you get some of the big parts going in Dallas? Or does it just have to evolve? Like Jason Robertson, how do you get that?
Yeah, he's still not. He's back from injury too, you know? Yeah. So there's my personal thought is in playoffs, it's not about you scoring a goal. You know what I mean? If you're Ben, you sit down and say, get the puck out in our zone. Make sure you get to the middle of the ice in this zone. And on the forecheck, be here. You know what I mean? I think that players that press, especially after losses in playoffs, it happens in the regular season too, with a 5-game point of the streak or an 8-game point of the streak. Your focus shifts to coming to the rink and thinking, okay, I got to score. Tonight's, you know, I'm on a new line, power play, whatever it is. But when your mindset is, Just go out there and take care of the puck and get the hit and make the pass. Do something that feels good. Then you, things start to come. But the more you look out for it, the more pressure you put on yourself for it, the less you're going to get for it. And it'll come in a bounce. It'll, you know, it'll come off the backhand where the puck is, stick is just on the ice and it's not a, a shot that he's been working on. But that comes from having a shorter focus. I really believe that. And that's why I'm so impressed with Florida, is because they all have that short focus. It's not about hopping over the boards and getting a goal. It's like, stick with this as it comes. And, you know, I really believe in all the sports. It's just go out and do something good. You look at the Knicks the other night, down by 20. Rebound, pat. Like, you just get the next thing going, and then it leads to things that are good.
How hard is it to be a goldfish in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
A goldfish, yeah. It's,
well, yeah. Like, I, no memory.
Yeah. I remember being down in a series, next day's a practice day, then it's a team meal on the road, and you watch the game that's going on that night, and you do forget. You get excited. You get more excited for the next opportunity and the game plan that's in place that, you know, now we've learned from these last three games. We got to stay away from this, but I think we could take advantage here. And if we try, you know, that you build the optimism for the next game. That was my experience, that it's not that hard, especially if you believe in the way you play as a team. That's why the coaches implemented all season long, regular season. You know, even the ones that have success, you hear, yeah, we got the win, but we didn't play well. Mm-hmm. And it was at Florida last year, didn't win a game in March. They weren't playing well, but they knew how they had to play. And I think that's where it's easier to get to. Hey, we know our level. We didn't get there. We got the loss. Let's get here and we'll be fine.
I'm actually surprised. You mentioned Jamie Benn. I thought we'd see more physical play from Jamie Benn in these last two games, and we just haven't.
Isn't it? He's having a tough time getting to it, right? I mean, that's the other thing, is that there are shifts that you see where it's just like they're chasing it a little bit. And I think that sometimes as a captain, I saw with Nick Foligno here, he tried to do everything and he would get nothing. Maybe he'd get a hit late or he'd try to force the hit. They don't look in sync to how they play. And that's a very detailed team. Pete DeBoer has got those guys. They're deep. And when I say details, I mean, if the puck is put out of the neutral zone in the middle of the ice, out of the offensive zone, they know which way to turn and where the puck's going to be rimmed, if it's not over the red line or not. There are things that make them quicker in that sense. But, you know, it could be banged up too. Who knows? Yeah. But I think sometimes leaders try to do too much in those situations where, again, if he just goes out and keeps it simple, things come to him.
Missing Roope Hintz doesn't help.
No, that line was so effective.
Yeah.
And Rantanen, what a story there. I mean, that's incredible what he did against Colorado.
Are you a tactician or are you an emotional guy? What do you appreciate more? And has that changed over the years?
There was no better coach for preparation for me than Ken Hitchcock. And you know, when he would put the 8 points on the board, it wasn't like they weren't over detailed, but they were simple enough that you knew if you did those 8 things, you'd win the game. And I appreciated that.
He had eight things. He had eight things all the time.
He had eight things most of the time.
Inside the dots. Inside the dots.
Inside the dots. The head of the snake. You know, the head of the snake was the one player. You cut the head off, we're going to win. So whoever's on the ice, and Shelly, when you're on the ice and he's out there, get the hell off the ice. You know, those type of things. But I'm also an emotional guy. I love John Tortorella. Like, Torts had Sully and Jim Schoenfeld did some tactical stuff there. But it's like, get, you know, and Labby was the same way. The emotional side of it during the regular season didn't work all the time, but these guys knew when to use it. And playoffs was like, your emotion is high enough, but it was the leadership in the locker room was where the emotional, you know, that's what drove the emotion of the team. And there's no better feeling than being on a team and battling for each other for in those games. But the tactical part was so critical. I learned that later in my career from mostly from Hitch. You follow it, you'll win.
What's John? Is he a tactician or is he emotion? When more, John Shannon emotion. Is coaching you. Yeah.
Yeah. John Tortorella. Oh,
no,
John Shannon.
Yeah, John Shannon. Because John's coaching you.
He's both. He sends you the notes. He's emotional because he takes the level up, and he, like, you know, when his wife hears him and asking, was he that mad? Were you really that mad at him? But he's technical. The technical part takes over, but the emotion seems to always end our meetings. Hi. It's passion. John,
are you okay with that? Or
well, I know exactly what I am.
And by the way,
more than anything else, forget about technical, forget about passion. It's common sense. Mm-hmm. It's common sense. If you can connect the dots, not outside the dots or inside the dots, Jody, but if you can connect the dots, you're doing your job.
Yeah.
Did you once, honest question, and we'll finish this way.
Jody?
Yes, to Jody. Did you once get through your producers, Mark Askin, on the Amazon games, the Askin notes?
You know what? I did a few times.
You did?
And I have you know when I got my first Askin notes? Our first game was in October. I got them in July. I want to say July. Maybe it was early August.
By the way,
and they would change.
It's the best for me because I travel. I'm doing, you know, my home games in Columbus. I can sit down and read them. And he tests you because he'll put random stuff in there about, like, I was the 27th all time with 5-minute majors or in the third period or something, you know. And he'll test me, you know. He wants to know that we saw it.
There little Easter eggs in there, right?
Yeah.
Little Easter eggs.
Yeah.
We need Shannon notes. That's what we need.
No, you don't.
Jody, just got to call him, Millard. Just got to call him. He's a wealth of knowledge.
John, we need to talk more, and that's per Jody.
We talk enough.
You guys do a great job. I enjoy this podcast. You guys have great guests, and I appreciate you having me on.
You're the best, Jody. Have fun this summer, and enjoy the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Thank you. You too.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I wanted to ask, and I didn't get around to it, just flying in on game days, what that's like, because we're so ingrained in going to the morning skates and talking to the coaches and seeing a few players, doing national games and flying in and then flying out.
It's hard. Yeah. They make for long days, and, you know, you're supposed to be fresh by 7 o'clock at night, and, you know, that's hour 12 or 13 of your day already. It's sometimes very difficult, but, you know, that network guys do it. They do it. By the way, I know we're taping this on Memorial Day. Congratulations to the United States of America for winning the World Hockey Championships. Tage Thompson with a great shot in overtime. They beat Switzerland in the gold medal game. Ron Warshawski, the winning coach. I saw Mike Vellucci behind the bench too, my old friend. I'm happy for the guys at USA Hockey, Pat Kelleher and Dave Fisher and all the boys.
Been a while at
92
the
years.
World Hockey Championship.
92 years. 1933, they won the world championship the last time.
And how was it received then?
Smartass. I knew you were going to do that. You see, you're now becoming too predictable.
No, but I changed it up. I didn't say, hey, you produced that game. I wasn't over the top with that. I thought that was solid.
I thought Foster was great on the radio that day.
And while it's not just enough to make fun of the ugly kid, we have to make fun of the ugly stepchild. You have to make him stepchild too.
Are you talking about me again?
Yeah, you threw that in. They're the ugly stepchild, the Metropolitan Division.
Well, they are the ugly stepchild.
Yeah, like,
okay, we got to go.
I know. It's like the kid's already ugly.
Bonus show tomorrow. Bonus show.
Oh,
Keith Pelley tomorrow.
He's a high roller. I got a big question for him. We'll
I got a couple for him too.
Get ready, Pelly. We're coming. It's 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Thanks for stopping by.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.